I'm here with Ashley Capps, founder of AC Entertainment and artistic director of Knoxville's Big Ears Festival. And he is here today to talk about the very exciting lineup of artists for the 2018 festival. Welcome, Ashley. It's wonderful to see you again.
It's become a tradition. Thanks for having me.
I love it. I look forward to it every year. Well, let's just dive right in. Who would you say are the headline acts this year?
Wow, it's really hard to say because there's so many different facets to the festival. We've certainly got a very strong jazz component this year. Medeski, Martin, and Wood, the amazing pianist Jason Moran is going to be playing Fats Waller and also presenting a couple of other new projects. Roscoe Mitchell from the Art Ensemble of Chicago and so many others. Anushka Shankar, who's going to be presenting this really extraordinary work called Land of Gold that touches on a lot of themes of immigration. And she's, of course, Ravi Shankar's daughter, Nora Jones' half-sister, and an amazing sitar player and composer in her own right. We've also got an Appalachian component to the festival that is being developed this year. Bella Fleck and Abigail Washburn, Jerry Douglas, the Black Twig Pickers, many others are going to be part of that program. The Bang on a Can All-Stars, who are one of the foremost new music ensembles, it's their 30th anniversary. And the three composers who were the founders of that ensemble, Michael Gordon, David Lang, and Julia Wolf, are all going to be here as composers in residence. So, as usual, about 100 performances over the course of 4 days.
Yeah. I definitely noticed that there are more jazz artists on this year's lineup. Was that intentional, or is that just how it came together?
It's funny. The programming of the festival kind of has a bit of an organic element to it in that ideas emerge, and we go down certain paths, and certain things are suggested, and then sometimes something doesn't work out, or it gets tossed out, or we wait till next year. But this time, I would say that the jazz element certainly took hold more strongly than it has before. I think the success of last year's Knoxville Jazz Orchestra collaboration with Carla Bley is one of the factors in all of that, because this year we have guitarist Nels Klein from Wilco bringing his big band, I like to call it his jazz noir project. It's called Lovers, and it involves a lot of jazz standards, but also some original compositions. It's a really, really beautiful moody piece, or actually moody song cycle. And so that led us down the whole jazz path, along with a conversation that I had with pianist Jason Moran, whose enthusiasm for exploring a number of different aspects of the festival through his own music also sent us down some fascinating paths. It all tends to take on something of a life of its own.
And the Knoxville Jazz Orchestra will be returning this year as well.
Absolutely, with Nels Klein. And they'll have some special guest soloists. It's going to be quite a performance of Lovers.
I read in a letter that you posted on the Big Ears website just a few days ago that an encounter last year with an enthusiastic fan who just happened to be a musician and ethnomusicologist led to, quote, an exciting adventure exploring connections right under our nose. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit.
Yes, that person would be a young woman, a violinist. I think she might prefer to be known as a fiddler at this particular point, named Anna Roberts-Gavalt. She's part of a duo called Anna and Elizabeth. And she went to Wesleyan University, but she became absolutely fascinated with traditional Appalachian music, studied some at Berea College, and went on these journeys to meet fiddlers in the hills of Kentucky and Virginia and North Carolina and Tennessee who are maintaining traditions that go back hundreds of years at this particular point. And through this conversation that we had at Big Ears last year, Anna is now curating this whole element of the festival. So we're going to have performances of bluegrass and traditional music woven throughout the programming. Some of it's reflected in some of the classical programming as well, like Julia Wolf's Pulitzer Prize-winning piece, Anthracite Fields, has a really strong Appalachian theme. It's about coal mining. Also, there's going to be a lot of activity on the streets of Knoxville. We're going to do a Big Ears Fiddlers Convention, square dancing. There'll be jam sessions down at the Jig and Reel. And it's a component of the festival. It's really going to activate the entire city.
That's really exciting, celebrating our own culture here in East Tennessee.
I've always said that one of the things that thrills me about Big Ears is being able to bring the world to Knoxville, but also to showcase Knoxville for the world. Mm-hmm. And as the cliche goes, think globally, act locally. I think that sense of place and what our region's role is in the greater world culture is a really fertile ground to explore. It's pretty exciting. There's a lot of unusual and unexpected connections and interfaces that I think are both artistically interesting, but also a lot of fun.
Before we turn the microphones on today, we were talking about the spiritual component that you have going throughout the festival as well.
We don't necessarily talk about it a lot, but it's always been a component of the festival for me. And there's often been music that had spiritual themes. But this year in particular, the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra is going to be involved in a fantastic performance by the young baritone Devone Tynes, who's one of the most exciting new singers in the world of opera. And he's going to be performing with the orchestra his song cycle, which is called Were You There? And it draws very heavily from spirituals, traditional spirituals, but also contemporary songs that draw also from spiritual themes. And then Alice Coltrane, the late wife of the late great jazz saxophonist John Coltrane, she wrote devotional music in the last decades of her life. She lived in an ashram, and this is devotional music that was sung by members of the ashram. And so those singers from the ashram will be here to perform Alice Coltrane's music. So that's just two of the elements. But mm-hmm. There's a lot of spiritual connections to be discovered in much of the music that will be taking place over the weekend this year.
Another artist I'm excited to hear is Icelandic composer Anna Thorvaldsdottir. The International Contemporary Ensemble will be performing In the Light of Air. I wonder if you could talk about this piece a little bit, or that composer.
Anna Thorvaldsdottir is one of the major young composers on the classical music scene. She was like chosen as the New York Philharmonic's Young Composer in Residence or something. They had a new program that they launched just a few years ago. And so she served in that capacity for a couple of years. She's written some very powerful atmospheric music. And this piece in particular is almost a multimedia piece. It's staged. The premiere was at the Park Avenue Armory in New York City a few years ago with ICE, the International Contemporary Ensemble. And so it's the lighting, the entire experience of the piece is very multidimensional, and it's a very powerful work.
I've played some of her music on my show before, and I'm a big fan of her writing.
I think if you've ever been to Iceland, it sounds like Iceland.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, that once again, you get back to that sense of place. It may sound kind of corny to say that, but, it, you know, the textures of that music just really evoke the landscape of Iceland like nothing else.
I understand that ICE will also perform a program of contemporary works by emerging female composers, including Oak Ridge native Ellen Reed.
That's right. Ellen Reed, who is from Oak Ridge, grew up here in East Tennessee, is another young composer who's really making waves out there, you know, in classical music world. And mm-hmm. we will have this piece as part of the program this year, but we're also hoping to showcase more of Ellen's music in 2019. She's got some really great new work, and hopefully that'll come to pass.
A hint for next year's lineup, perhaps.
One hint. There are others, but we might hold them back for now.
What can we expect from the film and art installations this year? Will that continue to be an integral part of the festival?
Definitely. There's so much going on at the festival this year. It has so many dimensions to it that it's overwhelming to try to announce it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
The film programming is something that's still being discussed. I think it's also going to touch on some of these regional themes in at least some instances, but there's also some really exciting, groundbreaking work that's being curated by a filmmaker, which we'll be telling people about in the next few weeks. We've also got some exciting culinary programs that we're Ooh. Developing that we hope to launch this year beyond the Sunday brunch that's become really popular. So there will be food themes, again, I think, tying into the culture of the region. And lots of talks. some really interesting artist talks and discussions and some exhibitions and so on. There's a lot more to reveal in the coming weeks.
How will this year's festival differ from last year's, if at all?
Well, I think the primary difference is the Appalachian theme being made more explicit and woven through the entire festival programming, and probably the presence of jazz being just stronger. Jazz that embraces the entire jazz tradition. So Jason Moran's Fats Waller Dance Party, Ain't Misbehavin', mm-hmm. It's going to be one of the highlights of the weekend and a tremendous amount of fun. And then there's a realization of John Coltrane's late period work, Ascension, another one of those spiritual pieces with an all-star cast that's going to be realized by the Rova Saxophone Quartet. And then you've got the more fusion jazz of Medeski Martin and Wood and, pianist Craig Taborn. There's really so much there. And then some of the more exploratory players like Evan Parker and Roscoe Mitchell and so on. So the jazz part of the program is almost a festival within the festival. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be using the same venues as last year?
Yes, there'll be a couple of additions as well, which we'll be telling people as soon as we lock down the details. We hope to announce the schedule early this year, so I think the details of who's playing where and when will be released in early December at the latest.
In your letter that I referenced earlier, you quoted Gustav Mahler, who said, "Tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire." And then you went on to say that if Big Ears is indeed a call to action, then it is in the fervent hope of us all coming together in preserving the fire. What do you mean by that? What is the fire?
Well, I love that quote because people become set in their ways and things, kind of become calcified as if they're not to be touched, when in fact the real tradition of music is of a living, breathing thing. I remember being one point I had the opportunity to be backstage at Carnegie Hall, and there were letters that I believe it was either Mahler, I think it was actually Brahms, was sending to his father. He was like part of a touring variety show in like the 1840s or the 1850s. And he was sending this letter home to his father, and he's like, "Dad, they're playing one of my songs." And I think a lot of the music that we now rever and kind of put in this on this pedestal and in a museum and in the concert hall was really an active, engaging part of people's lives. And I think that sometimes gets lost in an over-reverence of tradition. So to me, the tradition is in the nurturing of the creative impulse and trying to preserve that and not try to force fit things into preconceived boxes that, have kind of lost sight of the origins of their creation.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Well, Ashley, it's been a joy talking with you today. Thanks for your time and for coming to visit us.
I love coming to WUOT, and thank you for everything that you do in our community. WUOT is such a fabulous resource, and I'm delighted every day that you're here.
Well, thank you very much. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be part of this station, and I, for one, am very grateful to be here. Ashley Capps, founder of AC Entertainment and artistic director of Knoxville's Big Ears Festival, a world-renowned festival celebrating creativity and fearlessness in music, art, and film. This year's festival will take place March 22nd through 25th in various venues located in downtown Knoxville. More information is available at bigearsfestival.com.